Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome back into the Midday Show. Abe Gordon and Bo Morgan hanging out with you. And that is right. We are here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. And a couple of things to note. It is hour number two today. All week this week, we are starting the Midday Show at 10 a.m. That is not a permanent change, nor is it a permanent change that it's myself and Squid throughout permanent this week. But doesn't extend beyond that. Right. I also do see that the beer here is now a Squid approved.
Yeah, 29.4 degrees.
So they cooled it down just in time for the doors to open. They are now open, so you can come on by. And don't forget, Dukes and Bell going to be hanging out here after the Midday Show with you. So they're getting you set for a little college basketball as well. We'll get you set for the Final Four that's going to be decided between Florida and Houston tonight in just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that game. But, dude, I'm so sore right now. So, you know, today was supposed to be D-Day for Amy and I. Like, we thought...
Is that what you called it? D-Day?
Well, you can call it whatever you want, but we thought for almost a couple months, like, you know, that C-section would be today, but the...
You know. Did y'all have a countdown? A calendar in which you, like, X'd it out?
But we both had everything set up to be
right
there today. Like, everything was kind of set. We had, like, it was a mental kind of, okay, this is the day. We have to have all these things done.
And for those who are maybe listening to the Midday Show and aren't up early enough to catch Squid on the morning shift traditionally, his wife is pregnant, and they were supposed to have it today, and for various reasons, it's just shortly delayed.
And we are both ready for her to not be pregnant anymore.
But guessing her more than you by
no,
a little bit.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, it might be a tight race.
Little bit.
But yeah, so we had. So she planned. She's like, hey, let's do the day before. Like, so Sunday, we're going in Monday morning. Let's do couples massage. And I'm like, okay, cool. So we go to this place down from us.
Real quick, I would be terrified, and I'm no masseuse, obviously. I feel like I would be terrified to give a real massage to someone who's that pregnant.
Well, they have it. It's called like a they have one specifically for pregnant women.
Okay, good.
I'd
be terrified.
Because Amy's called her something different. So I'm getting – I get on the table, and the lady comes in, and she's like, all right, deep or medium, and medium tissue. And I was like, I don't know. Whatever you think. And so she starts, like, you know, doing her thing on my back, and it's like my body starts twitching. Like, I'm like, she's like, oh, you sore? And I'm like, yeah, it's really, my shoulders are like a mess, like a tight knot. She laughed at me at one point. Because the way my body was switching, because, I mean, it was good, but it was, you could tell she was working out some things that need to be worked out. Dude, my neck down to my lower back, I am so sore right now. And it's a good thing, because you can feel like you feel better, you feel loose, but I am sore, like sore. Like, I didn't know a massage, I'm not a guy, I don't have a lot of experience with getting massages, it's not something I do a lot. I am really sore.
So that's what I was gonna say. I don't think I've ever had like a real massage.
And what do you mean a real one? Like if you went to what is it, what You mean like one night, like not like you had a girl give you a massage?
Well, like
randomly?
You done like the weird like
somebody
you
rubs know, your neck.
Rubs your neck or something, and not like a real massage where they're getting in there and working out muscles and stuff.
I've had a couple. I went Amy got me one years ago, and I made the mistake of like it was like a massage envy place or whatever. And I made the mistake of when they asked, "Do you want a regular massage or a sports massage?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I've been training a lot. Give me a sports massage." That's not what you want. That is not like the soothing thing. But like it was really good. Though. Like the place was great. They were awesome. And I felt so much better yesterday after, and I feel better now. But I can just tell like I went to turn my neck, and I was like, "Oh, that's sore." Like I'm there, it's legitimate sort of touch, but you still feel good at the same time. It's kind of like when you haven't worked a body part in a long time and you feel it sore, but it feels good at the same time. Like it, you know what I mean? Like you feel like there's something good that came out of it.
There can be good to that. There's also just concern sometimes.
Yeah, well, I don't mean like you pulled something.
Yeah, it was like hamstring pulls and
no, I mean
groin
like,
strains.
Like, yeah,
it's not
a good
sore. You know who could use a sports massager? Florida and Houston, because they got to turn around and get it ready. And both those teams played very intense games. And I want to start with Duke and Houston. Houston wins 70-67 to eliminate the Blue Devils. They go on a 9-0 run in the final 35 seconds. And defensively, they held Duke to just one field goal in the final 10.5 minutes of this game. I want to start here. And it's unfortunate that we have to ask the question and have this discussion because you never want officiating to come into play. Was that a foul on Cooper Flagg?
It looked really touchy in the last minute of the game to me. He did go over him, but I'm not sure I would have called
that. You could
go
over a guy if you're not on a guy.
Well, he did have some physical contact with him as he went up. But
yeah.
It was somewhat ticky-tack, but I'll tell you this. If that was the same crew that did the game, the Florida game, I'm not sure what a foul is because I saw a play where Hawk went up to make a contested block, blocks the play, and you can look at the photo. The Auburn player is basically stiff-arming Hawk, and they call the foul on Hawk and not the Auburn player. So that crew, I tweeted out during the game, that crew was absolutely brutal.
There's no doubt that and I know that Auburn or Florida technically had more fouls than Auburn, and this goes to that. They would not call a foul on John Ibroom.
Yeah.
They just would not down low.
Well,
and he's not the only one. There were also a couple of
how do you hold a guy?
I don't know.
How do you hold a guy in front of the ref and not call it yet? But then they actually called a foul on the drive for Broome against the Florida defender. It was incredible. There was so many.
It was abominable.
Inaccuracies with that. And look, it didn't. I don't think it cost. That didn't cost Duke the game. Let's be honest. You mentioned it earlier. Duke not inbounding costing the game. The fact that Duke was held for the last 10 and something minutes. 10 and change with only one field goal from the floor, that cost Duke the game. The fact that they called a foul on Cooper Flagg in a late situation, that did not cost you the game. You not only had that, all the other things, but you had a chance, and Cooper Flagg got a good look at a go-ahead bucket, and he missed it.
Yeah, real quick, let's go ahead and hear. This is with Houston up by a point. And Duke gets the ball to Cooper Flagg with an opportunity to continue the legacy and cement themselves into the championship game. It came up a bit short.
Over to the left side and Flagg, 13 seconds. Flagg to work against Roberts, trying to back him down. Curls into the paint, fadeaway jumper, short, rebound underneath. Malik Wilson of Houston gives it off. Now to Cryer. Cryer is fouled. 3 seconds to play. Cryer is fouled. He'll march to the other end for two free throws.
What's the play? Coached you up. Took it into the paint. Thought I got my feet set. Rose up. Left it short, obviously, but I mean, it's a shot I'm willing to live with in the scenario. Pulling up on the rim. Trust the work that I put in.
First off, that is the great Kevin Kugler getting it done on Westwood 1. And it would have been a storybook for Cooper Flagg if he was able to, after a long stretch, drill that shot and give Duke the lead. But that wasn't how it happened. And this goes back to the discussion I had about Duke coming in, and it was that the season was too easy for them. And what I meant by that was the ACC conference unlike what the SEC did for Auburn or Florida or Alabama and Tennessee, the ACC did not prepare Duke enough for this NCAA tournament. And the question I had was, how does Duke handle close games? They blew out so many teams. Yeah. They had so many games in the ACC where they didn't have to execute down the stretch. The one concern I had was, if they're not able to roll through the end, and by the way, they did for four games. They rolled through the NCAA tournament. In this fifth game, though, they are competitive and close with Houston, and you don't want to call it a choke because Houston operates and Duke didn't. That's fine. But they blew this game, well, and I think part of it's because they weren't in late-game situations enough during the year.
Yeah, but this game wasn't close and for a while. And Houston, that's where I think credit goes to Houston. Houston did a phenomenal job of being exactly who they were. They are a big physical team inside as far as their they play great defense, and they can score. They can score from the outside, and they did that. That's how they got back in this game. They got back in this game by being who they were, and Duke is a team that can be hot, and I don't disagree with the fact that battle tested is a thing. You look at Florida and Auburn, who both were in the Final Four, and they played a lot of good. They put a tough schedules this year, right? Auburn, the toughest schedule of anybody. If you go look at the quad one victories, etc. But look at how Florida's won in this tournament, where they've come from behind three separate times in the second half of games. They were trailing at one. They were trailing late to UConn. They were trailing late to Texas Tech.
Right.
They were trailing to Auburn. Actually, you could say the best game they had was against Maryland. Really,
that
was
that the second
most
half was Florida at its best. And if they play like that tonight, they're going to beat Houston. But they haven't necessarily shown that consistently throughout the tournament.
Well, they've also, they've played a pretty tough schedule in the tournament. They played the two-time defending national champion, loaded with young talent, but still talent, in UConn in the second round. They played a very good Big Ten team in Maryland, who was a fourth seed, who has some young talent. They played a Texas Tech team that was pretty good themselves, and they had looked pretty good in the tournament. And then they take on the number one overall seed in Auburn, and they were down 9 points at halftime.
Yeah,
come out and open extremely strong, and that's where I go to the fact that Florida's depth has won them three or four games in this tournament already.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that matchup tonight on the other side. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Atlanta Hawks and some of the struggles we've seen from them. One final reminder, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is Atlanta's home of the NCAA Basketball Championship. Make sure you join us tonight for complete play-by-play coverage through tonight's National Championship game. Brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors. By Humberto Injury Law, after an injury, they are your winning team. And by Window Nation, buy four windows, get four free. It's the NCAA tournament. Wraps up tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But the discussion does not wrap up, because Bo and I are going to continue talking about it and break down tonight's championship game. Also work some Hawks in on the other side. It's Abe and Bo live at Twin Peaks Kennesaw on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show. Abe Gordon and Bo Morgan, Squidbilly, filling in for Andy and Randy this week. A reminder, I'm going to be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw on Wednesday. Get you started, first-hand coverage of the Masters. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game hits the road to Augusta. You can join me at Twin Peaks on Robert C. Daniel Parkway from 10 a.m. And then Dukes and Bell are going to be following me all the way to 6 p.m. Again, that's Wednesday as we wrap up practice rounds and the par 3 contest. Get you set for Thursday's opening round at Twin Peaks in Augusta. A couple of things here before we get back into the NCAA Final Four. The temperature of the beer here is now back above 30.6. Do you think it's like a situation like I have with my air conditioning or heat at home where it gets to a level and it cools it off to a level and it waits till it gets to that level again? How do you think the temperature works?
I think that's how all things with thermostats kind of go, right? So, that's what I would think. I mean, 30 to – I personally, it's my favorite when it comes out. It's 29 degrees, but
can you taste the difference between 29.4 and 30.7? I mean, how good are you?
I'm don't ask me how good I am because I'll tell you a slanted answer. But I think you can, because sometimes they'll bring up those beers and you can see the ice kind of forming at the top. Like you have a glacier in your beer, and I love it. I love getting the big beers here that are just chill. I mean, the beer kind of the foam. The head of the beer kind of gets spilt over, and you can see it just kind of like freezing up as it goes down the mug. I think it's phenomenal. I love it. So I've talked myself into wanting one really bad right now, just by going through all of that. But dude, it's getting up. It's going to go to 30, probably 30.9, 31.
Are you concerned? Do you think it's broken?
No. I bet you by the end of this segment it'll be.
I'm keeping an eye on it because I'm facing
around
for those of you
29.
Who have been here to Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. It's up to 31 now. I'm facing the sign.
It'll come back down. Don't worry. It's got a thermostat. It's
I got
okay.
my eye on it.
Don't panic.
You know me. I don't panic.
You're not
a Braves
have
fan.
A beer.
I mean, I am a Braves fan, but I'm not one of those that's panicking.
Okay. So you're not like some other people. You don't want to put out a poll question about if we should boo them or not?
We'll get into the Braves. Right. We can maybe do a poll question on 12:20 when we talk some more about Spencer Schwellenbach, Spencer Strider, and some of the Braves starters. We'll get into that in a little bit, and we'll get into the Hawks here in just a moment as well. But I want to get some final thoughts on the Final Four and talk about tonight's matchup. And you talked about one thing I thought was most interesting. Duke may have the most talented starting five, but the depth of Florida is certainly what saw them through it. And they win over Auburn 79-73. Walter Clayton drops 34. Just 3 points in the second half for Jonai Brumman. And Bruce Pearl maybe shared some thoughts that align with you. The depth of Florida maybe got into it because Auburn, according to their head coach, a good buddy of mine, Bruce Pearl, got winded.
Florida, credit for coming out with great effort and energy, but we did look fatigued in the second half. I thought we played great basketball in the first half. We executed everything we wanted to do, but did not take care of the ball in the second half. We turned it over too much, led to a lot of transition, and that was the difference.
I like Bruce Pearl. I'm a big fan of him. I think he's – I mean, I can't name drop like you that he's my close friend or anything, but
– You didn't must produce have been hard, his show for 2 years.
Must have been hard for you. Well, no, I'm just teasing you because, you know, you and I both know we've gotten some relationships throughout the business, but it must have been tough for you in all seriousness pulling against him as a Florida fan. I'm sure at the end of the day you probably would have smiled either way because your friend was playing for a national title or your team was playing for one.
Yeah.
I watched the first half of that game, and it was so good. And the whole game was good, don't get me wrong. But when they're up, like they got a little pull away there late in that first half, which is what Florida, by the way, has done to teams in the tournament. They did it in the SEC tournament. They've done it a couple of times in this tournament. But they did it against Maryland, if I'm not mistaken. But, I go, uh-oh, I'm worried. And then they come out in the second half with this intensity. And from that point on, it felt like Auburn, for whatever reason, couldn't match that intensity.
Yeah.
And I think part of it was Broome wasn't 100%. You look at just how deep Florida is. Give Todd Golden credit. He made an adjustment because early in that game, Jonai
Brumman
was dominating Condon. Alex Condon's not big enough. He's not strong enough. And the second half, and maybe late in the first half, I can't recall, but I know definitely in the second half, he put Chinyelu in and rotated him over to guard Broome. And if you know what Chinyelu looks like, he's a thick dude. He's a big guy. And that made it a more physical battle inside, and it pulled Jonai Brumman outside where you want him taking shots.
And we're not even talking about outside. We're talking about 8 feet from the basket, 10 feet from the basket. And credit to Chinyelu for staying, and this is one of the concerns with him, is staying out of foul trouble. He was able to do that. Which has allowed him to stay on the floor defensively for a lot longer. And just real quick, final thought on this Florida-Auburn game, because we've seen Florida not play up to their standards in the first half before. I don't think that's what was happening on Saturday. I think Auburn was very good in the first half. I think Florida was as well. Auburn had the lead there, but I don't think it's because Florida played poorly in that half.
No, I don't disagree at all. And in fact, a double down, it was just back and forth.
Yeah.
There were, I think, 15, 16, maybe even 17 lead changes in that game. There were a ton of ties. I mean, it was a slugfest all the way until, you know, late in the first half, and then Florida came back.
Florida gets a 9-0 run in the second to bring it to a tie ball game, and from there it was mostly Florida.
It was, but Auburn still hung around, and Florida did pull away late. But to me, the difference in this game and others is Walter Clayton has gotten off to some slow starts in this tournament. He did not. He was there from the beginning to the end. The first guy since Larry Bird to score 30 or more points in the Elite Eight and the Final Four game and win both of them too, which is something Bird did. So I thought it was a phenomenal game. I was like, there's no way Houston and Duke tops it. And then we talked about it earlier. Houston and Duke did top it. I want to throw it back to you. What is Abe Gordon's big key in the Florida-Houston national title game? Because I have a little bit of some thoughts on this game.
Yeah.
But I know you do as well.
Well, there's a couple things. And if you're looking at just, like, the general, like, flow of the game, the higher scoring this game is, the better it's going to be for Florida.
Agreed.
Florida scored 77 or more in every single tournament game. Houston's allowed just one game where they're over 70. So if it's over 70, you'd like Florida. If you're in the 50s and 60s, which is where Houston would like to play, that's something to keep an eye at as well. You know, one of the things that should both concern or excite you if you're a Houston fan is the ability to shoot the three. They're among the best in the country to do that. But we've also seen teams that shoot the three live by the three and die by the three. I think that's what got up with Alabama. Alabama had one of the best three-point shooting games as a team in the history of the NCAA tournament in a blowout in the Sweet 16. And then they played Duke in the Elite Eight. The three-point ball wasn't there for them, and they got routed. And so I think that's something to watch. Florida can defend the three pretty well. Houston shoots it at an elite level. But we've also seen shooting teams go cold. And they, if they need to find a way to score, I think it's going to be difficult. Offensive rebounding, second chance points always plays its role too.
The best part about this is that Walter Clayton has never taken a wide open shot in his life, apparently, and he's dominant at taking contested shots. Both these teams are very good rebounding teams.
Yeah,
very good. Both these teams are very good defensive teams. Florida has been turnover prone in this tournament. That worries me because
sure.
they have times have been. Careless.
But they were better against Auburn.
They were. And you know what one of the differences was in that Auburn game is in the second half, Florida said, blank this, we're going to run.
Yeah.
Which is where they turned the ball over. And they ran. And they ran them. To me, Florida has to come out and set the tone that they're –
Let Houston set their defense. Play up tempo.
Play up tempo. But also, Florida shooting the ball well tonight is – I mean, you can – it's kind of a silly thing to say – but the point I'm making is you will not have as many second chance points as you've had or second chance possessions, you know, offensive rebounding. So you got to come out and take high percentage shots, in other words. Maybe not worry as much about shooting at three, but and go inside. Go inside to Chinyelu. Go inside to Condon when you have Hanglotten out there or Hawk out there. Go inside. Let Clayton and Martin and Richards penetrate. Because if you can get their bigs in trouble, I think you could really kind of eat at what has been one of their strengths, which is being big inside and very good defensively. You might take some of that aggressiveness away.
I'm fascinated by who can create shots. And that, to me, seems like Florida should be able to create shots. And obviously, if you're giving teams the three ball, they're going to take it. Florida will and will Houston. But it does feel like Florida's got a couple more shot makers. And it's going to be interesting because if it's in the 60s, probably Houston. If it's in the 70s, it should be Florida's game.
I agree. How about Martin's dunk? We even talked about Martin's dunk.
Why go up?
Not the one where he goes up from the free throw line. I'm talking about the one where he's got two
puts
guys.
Puts two dudes on a map.
Yeah, and just, I mean, that the picture of the Florida bench as they get out, dude, that is.
I thought they were going to foul him and prevent the dunk, and then they just let him dunk. I was like, well, that's even worse. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, that was just –
I'm fouling you before I ever end up on a poster. Let that be known.
Just be careful because then you get a flagrant one.
I know, but I'll take it. You're not putting me on that poster.
That crew's not doing the game tonight, right? That same ref crew?
No, I'm sure not. We were going to talk Hawks, but we'll get some Hawks discussion in at some point throughout the show because one of the best players in the history of Atlanta sports announced his retirement over the weekend. We got to talk about Julio Jones from a couple of different angles, and especially considering Bo's unique knowledge of Julio and the career that he had. We'll get into it on the other side. It's Abe Gordon, Bo Squid, Billy Morgan on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome back into Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Abe Gordon and Bo Morgan. Squidbilly hanging out with you for the Midday Show, filling in for Andy and Randy this week. We're going to be on starting at 10 a.m. every day this week. Obviously, spring break for many in the area, including some of those at the station. So moving the schedule around a little bit. But do not fear, Andy and Randy will return on Monday, a week from today, and they'll have a full breakdown for you. But we've got you this week, at least.
It's Masters week, eh?
Four of the days of
this week. Dude, they have the Augusta National Women's Amateur, which happens
before. I was watching
before.
Some of this, yeah.
Man, the course looks unbelievable. I mean, absolutely phenomenal down there right now. Well, I mean, not – maybe it's a little bit rainy right now, but
they opened the gates. They did open the gates for patrons today, and I know there was some concern.
Have you ever been?
No.
You never been to it?
I'm going to Augusta Wednesday, but probably not to Augusta National, being Twin Peaks at Kennesaw.
Yeah.
So reminder.
Yeah. No, I just meant, have you ever been on the grounds?
No. Nope.
It's crazy because, you know, you're in Augusta, and then you turn down a road, and it's like you're entering this. It's like you've driven through a portal, and this place looks nothing like anything around it. It's so crazy. I got to go a few years ago for the first time to actual tournament. Went to the Thursday round of – it was a 22 tournament. Oh, dude. It's like going to – it's like the guy sports version or the golf version of going to Disney World.
I mean, how much did you spend it there at the shop?
Over $500.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And most of it was me. I bought a couple people things. Obviously, I bought Amy something. But we went in it twice. Now, my buddy that I was with, Oliver, he spent $1,000 the first time. And he did buy some other people things. And then he went back. We both went back later and got more stuff. And it's for me, I mean, I don't know how many times I'm ever going to go to
that.
It's
I would spend a couple hundred. I wouldn't get up to $1,000.
Well, you get in there and you're like, I like this.
No, there's a limit. For me, there's a limit.
I mean, okay, well.
I don't have the Squidbilly big bucks.
It's not big bucks. It's just called a credit card. I'm like, oh, I'll pay this off over 6 months. I mean.
I can't do that.
Well, sometimes that's the only way.
You can, but I'm not doing that. 404 Day was on Friday. It was great hearing all the Atlanta sports legends over the course of the day on 92.9 The Game. And also on 404 Day, an Atlanta sports legend, and it was no coincidence, it made it public that that tied into the timing of the announcement. But Julio Jones announces his retirement. 13 NFL seasons, 10 of them right here in Atlanta, 7 Pro Bowls, 2 first-team All-Pros. He was a member of the All-2010s team. And I got a couple things to say about Julio before we get into the other discussion we might have in this segment. But let's just start here. Eligible for the Hall of Fame in 2029. In your eyes, not do you think he is, but in terms of will he actually be a first-ballot Hall of Famer?
I don't know. I think there's too much gatekeeping, but I think he should be.
So what are the talking points around no?
I would think some people would look. They would try to
last hold couple of seasons.
Well, yeah, I would say they'd probably try to hurt him on his last couple of seasons. I think his touchdowns would be the only thing that I could think of. I other than that, I don't know. He was on a first ballot Hall of Famer at one point in time. The guy was the only receiver in the NFL history that was averaged 100 yards a game receiving. You look at his number. I mean, go look at his 2015 alone, 136 catches, almost 1,900 yards and 8 touchdowns. I think the touchdown numbers is going to be something that people always have complained about and will continue to hark on. But I think he's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. The guy was incredible. When he was in his prime, he was absolutely – I have only one time doing NFL games I've done for so many years, I've seen a guy line up at the 3-yard line and he have two guys in up press coverage on him. And, I mean, that just you look at everything he was as physically gifted as I've ever seen a guy play the position.
There's something I'm about to say about Julio that I have not said certainly about any other member of the Atlanta Falcons since I've been a fan of them. And that is, no matter how many times you target him, no matter what the play call is, you couldn't throw it his way enough for me. And with respect to the receivers that he played with and the quarterback that had to make decisions, and all that's fine. And I'm not mad that you would throw it, you know, over the middle to someone else or whatever. But, like, you could just sit here and tell me that every play was designed for Julio, and I would be okay with that offensive game plan. Like, that's how good he was and how, like, invested I was, and be like, if you're ever in trouble, like, just get him the ball.
If I would have been his offensive coordinator when he was here, I would have opened every game with the same play.
Yeah.
A little.
That might give a tad bit predictable, but.
Stop it, but a little slant, or a shallow drag route or something like that.
Like that would have led to a number of pick sixes, but
no, I get your point.
But
what I always wanted to love was getting him the ball in space where he could run. Because he doesn't get enough credit for him with the ball in his hands and as a runner now. Because, I mean, look at the play where he gets the 500th. Matt goes over 500 yards passing or hits 500. He goes over 300 yards receiving against Panthers that day. The play that he did it is a little crossing route, a little slant route, and boom, he pushes a guy away and just turns on the Jets. Why his nickname was Jet. Look at the Kuechly catch where he goes up over Kuechly. Matt's in trouble. He scrambles, just throws it up, and he goes up and over. And if you've ever heard Kuechly talk about this, he was on a podcast a while back talking about it. He was like, dude, I thought I was in position, and he just went up over me.
Yeah, it's interesting because of the high quality of receivers nowadays, and a lot of guys are in – I don't want to – get this term taken the wrong way. A lot of guys are specialists. They do one or two things that a receiver is asked to do at an incredibly high level. And to use a baseball term for Julio, he was a legitimate five-tool player. Excellent hands. He obviously could jump fast when he got the ball in the hands. Good route runner. Made people miss. He was a tough guy to bring down. I mean, he did everything that you would ask. Like, if you're Madden gives you the build a player type of things is like every bar was up to 99. There was no weakness in his game.
He never got enough credit for how elite of a route runner he was.
Sure, right.
And that always bugged me. I remember standing there, Dave Archer and myself were standing at training camp years ago, and we're watching Julio run routes. And he was like, dude, just watch him run routes. And he ran the routes so violently.
So why do you think that was? Is it because of the other physical tools that maybe people look at and don't give credit to the route running? They're just like, oh, he ran past a guy, he jumped over a guy.
I think it was just overlooked. I think you looked at his speed and his height. Whenever you get guys that are so much bigger, so much faster, so much more physically gifted, you tend to kind of forget the little things they do Antonio Brown, everyone knew how elite of a route runner he was because you looked at some of the things he didn't have, some of the physical traits he didn't have. He was an elite route runner with phenomenal hands. But Julio, had all these other things, so you never paid it. You didn't really think about the fact that not only was he bigger, faster, stronger, but he was just better at his craft than people.
Yeah.
I mean, he ran those routes so violently that I don't know how his body held up as long as it did.
Well, and that's the other discussion. A lot of people think of Julio as a guy that was often hurt, and he
that's
was
fair.
He was often injured.
But it's not as accurate as people act.
No, he was often sitting out practice. He was often dealing with things throughout the weeks. But come Sunday, more often than not, no matter what, he was on the field.
If I told you, so Julio misses a couple of games his first year mm-hmm. with a hamstring. And then he misses all but five games. By the way, 2013, he breaks his foot against the Jets on a Monday night. He already had 59 targets, 41 catches, and 580 yards. He had 41 catches in five games that year.
Yeah.
All right? But you look at his game log, 13 games, 16 games, 5. Then 15, 16, 14, 16, 16, 15.
Yeah, I think there's a big misnomer of him being available.
Yeah, from 11 to 2019, you know, if you take away the 1 year where he had the broken foot, he missed like five games.
Yeah, and he was dealing with it during the week, but on Sundays he was there.
He always there, and he always balled out.
The announcement and some of the respect that Julio received in the aftermath on Friday kind of had me thinking about Atlanta athletes, past or present, and just the level of respect some did or didn't get from outside fan bases. And Julio's in that group of guys that were undeniable from the national perspective. And when I think of it, it's not a long list. And obviously we're biased here in Atlanta, and this is part of it. But the amount of guys that played here in Atlanta that truly got the respect that they deserved.
Yeah.
I think Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz were in that group. I think Mike Vick was in that group from the national perspective. I don't know how many more great players in Atlanta truly got their due.
I think Matt Ryan got credit.
I think he gets more credit outside of Atlanta than he did inside Atlanta.
And that's exactly the point. He got credit. You know, you go through the list. I think Dominique got credit outside of the city.
So here's the thing. I was going to agree with you, but I was talking with Mike Conley about this segment on Saturday night at the Atlanta United game, and he actually thought Dominique got shafted quite a bit. He mentioned that he wasn't part of the 50. The 50 greatest players.
That's true.
He wasn't involved in the dream team when he was at his peak as well.
He was still at his peak at 92.
And so, because I was with you, I felt like people respected Dominique around the NBA, but Mike felt a little bit differently.
But you think you go back and
now,
you
to
think,
be fair, I was young though, so it was tough to really tell.
Yeah, I was too. But you all right? Go back and you look though, Abe. I mean, think about it. If you want to go down that road, you know, they never made it out of the second round.
Yeah.
With Neek. He had the dunk contest battles, but, you know, you can judge him on by what he didn't do in the postseason here. Now, you can say it's not all his fault, and he also ran into, I mean, that wasn't easy.
To me, Neek felt like one of the stars, though, And again, I was so young, it's tough for me to judge. Like, Conte brought up Jeff Van Note. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, sure.
Jeff Van Note's a Hall of Famer if he plays anywhere but Atlanta.
And that's exactly what Mike Conte said. It's just tough for me to gauge because I wasn't there.
I guess here's the thing for Dominique. And you got to remember when he played in the NBA. Because he played in an era where, you know, that 80s, they was only a few stars. It wasn't a ton. It wasn't a national game. I mean, you know, some of it, I think early in his career, the finals were still probably on tape delay. So that's where the league was. That was the growth of the league under Bird and Magic, who he was in that era with playing against those guys in Jordan.
I think Trey probably is in this discussion. I just, even in Atlanta, but certainly outside of Atlanta, I don't know if he gets the love that he deserves. I also just, going back, Keith Brooking got the respect nationally that he deserved.
I know it's weird because, he didn't get credit for it. I know this is a name that didn't play all of his career, but I do believe Hank Aaron got plenty of credit outside of the city, rightfully so.
Yeah.
Because Hank Aaron is an all-time great, but he got it. He got some of that outside of the city. So I think that's a name that you can put in there.
Yeah, again, it's just tough to tell when I wasn't there to really gauge.
Dion was
in that group too. One of the other ones that's interesting, and I know we got to hit a break here. Is Ronald Acuña Jr. viewed in that light, or had these last two injuries?
No, I believe he is.
He still is.
I believe he's viewed as not only the best player on the Braves, but as one of the top 10 players in the league. I mean, look at the MLB list. He was number one there, and then he has the knee surgery, and he only falls to, like, 25 or something.
Yeah. Okay. I think without those injuries, we're talking about, and I think everyone in baseball is like Ronald Acuña Jr., Mookie Betts, Shohei, Tatis. These are the top five players in baseball.
Yeah, and I disagree with you the fact that Chipper got it outside. Well, and you made a good point. We were talking about this off the air that you've worked in other cities where they didn't give Chipper respect. But the problem is some of those cities were actually rival teams of the Braves, so they were never going to give Chipper the credit.
I don't know. Like, obviously, Chipper's an all-time great. I don't know if while he was playing, people were like, we are watching greatness. And I feel like they should have. That's all.
Absolutely should have.
When we come back, we're going to stick with the NFL. The NFL No Huddle is coming your way, including a team in the AFC North that could be leaving their city, potentially. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's Abe Gordon. It's Bo Squidbilly Morgan live, Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.